It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh, yeah. Better than this. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this? Guys, being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Thursday edition of the show. Kyle, I am still kind of smiling over the trivia night last night. That was fun.
I want to give credit to everybody because we had the entire team on, and everybody brought great questions. There was nobody that was like, oh, you know, who are the top five like touchdown leaders in NFL history? Like, it was all like really interesting stuff, and that's what made it so much fun. And I was like, man, I hope like we either don't get too cute or it doesn't get too like cornball-y, but it didn't because everybody had a great attitude and brought great questions.
I'll take a little bit of an exception with Jonah Toll's question about Taylor Mays and
it wasn't a question.
That's what I was like, dude, what did you ask? Like, none of the stuff you even said is like really.
You straight up did that to him on the stream, too. You were like, you didn't even ask a question.
I'm like, Jesus. I got to the point where I was like, can we just get through this one? I don't even know what. Like. And then somehow, Jordan pulls it out of his ass.
What, the
he got it right. The USC players.
Yeah, yeah. Sitting there, and he was like, Ben kept trying to shush him along, and I'm like, well, no, I want him to have an educated guess because I'm not going to have one.
So. because you were on deck, huh?
No, I was dead last in that question.
Oh, you're lucky.
I was gonna get everybody's answers first, but I'm like, man, like, thank God I'm gonna get a lot of different perspectives before it's my time on the clock.
If anyone missed the Twitch stream from last night, you can go to thedraftnetwork.com right now and watch it. And I promise you will have a good time. We certainly did, and we're gonna do it every Wednesday, right? 10 o'clock
PM. Every Wednesday, 10 o'clock PM
Eastern time.
Eastern Standard Time, yes.
Yeah, God's time. It's not God's time. More I think about it, it's not. We don't need to get into that.
No.
Worst
of first. It's on the Do Not Disturb list for draft dudes.
Kyle, worst of first today, right? That's the concept. We're going to give our rankings of the 8 teams that finished in last place of their division in 2018 and rank them in order of who's most likely to become a first-place team in 2019. Kyle, I have a little bit of data that I did some research on here before we start.
Is this one out of one? This happens once a year. Is that the average?
I don't have that. Well, I only have specifically 2017 to 2018. From 2017 to 2018, two teams went worst to first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, 1-8.
Houston and Chicago. Those are the two teams that went worst to first, 2017 to 2018. I found this also to be interesting. Three teams remained in last place from 2017 to 2018. Both teams from New Jersey, the Jersey Jets and the Jersey Giants, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, I think we'll see some statistical trends here. I don't want to tip my hand because we're revealing these by counting backwards, effectively, is what we're doing. By the way, Joe, ACC Media Days this week, you've been having a good time, but I do have a complaint.
Oh, okay.
You've thrown off my rhythm with the podcasting. I'm on my second cup of coffee already this morning because I feel like I need to bring the energy.
You know, Kyle, you used to be this early guy, you know, early rising, waking up at 4 a.m. and shit. And now your ass can't get out of bed at 7 a.m.
We got room darkening shades. It's a disaster.
Room darkening shades?
The curtains. The like super thick ones, and it's meant and designed to prevent daylight from getting into the room. Well, when I'm asleep, I need the light as a prompt, and I don't get it because the missus has to have like complete darkness like Dracula to sleep like a rock.
Oh, wow. Marital problems already.
Oh, my goodness, Joe. Just give me some normal curtains, and I'll be up and at it at 4:30 every morning. I got tape to grind.
But that's been surprising. I will say this about ACC Media Day. I ain't about this driving to work life. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Who's that
you
for?
You got a nice little 30-minute commute, don't you?
Yeah, to uptown Charlotte, man. Like
uptown, not downtown.
No, never, never.
Never.
We know you're not from around yesterday. Here. Y'all ain't from around here.
All right.
What do you want to go? 8-1?
Dead last.
Yeah.
We're going to go 8-1 on the baby big board.
Okay.
And the team that I have in dead last is a team that doesn't generally get discussed about in terms of Vegas betting odds and draft odds at this juncture as a team that could have the top pick, but I think this team has a very realistic chance of getting the top overall pick. I'm talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals' offensive line has been ravaged already with injury, Jonah Williams, and retirement with Clint Bowling going down. I was corrected when I said that Trey Hopkins was in line for a starting position. Now they said, well, no, actually it's Christian Westerman. To which case I say, my point proven exactly. Christian Westerman, if you're standing for Christian Westerman, your offensive line's got a problem. And that's exactly where the Bengals sit at this point in time. I think the quarterback position stale. It's a new coach. It's a coach that, to be honest, I was surprised got a coaching gig. It was one of those hires that was all about, well, you know, he knew Sean McVay at one time. They had breakfast together, so he should probably be a head coach now. I just don't have great expectations based on the coaching hire because I think Zach Taylor got hired prematurely based on what his working resume was. Now, he could go out and prove me wrong. He may be an offensive savant, and if he is, then good for the Bengals. But that's a big drastic change for their offense. Andy Dalton is not somebody that I'm excited about. The offensive line's not very good. The linebackers aren't very athletic. I think the Bengals have some problems and a division that's got the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Browns, who are a very upstart football team. I have a very difficult time seeing the Bengals get out of the cellar.
I have the Bengals low on my list, but they're not dead last. Dead last on my list is the Arizona Cardinals, 3-13 last year. You've got Cliff Kingsbury, who couldn't win at Texas Tech as a head coach. You have a Kyler Murray, who's a one-year starter in college. This offensive line, the Bengals and Cardinals, those are the two worst offensive lines in the league. Cardinals might be worse. You have very young weapons. I know you have Fitzgerald and David Johnson, right? So that like elevates the age of the room. But outside of those guys, man, you got some young bucks in the fray there with who's going to be catching passes from Kyler Murray in year one. Now the defense is interesting because they have a lot of veterans on that group. And so like, if you were to try to spin it in a positive way, you might say there's veterans on this defense, if it comes together under Vance Joseph, and then maybe the league will take some time to have to adjust to what Cliff Kingsbury is doing and Kyler Murray, is gangbusters from the outset. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Arizona Cardinals are the least likely team to go from worst to first in 2019.
Okay. Where were the Bengals seventh on your list?
Yeah, let me go ahead. I got the Bengals at number seven.
Unless you have anything that you disagree for the sake of timeliness, like I just have them flip-flopped. I don't have anything to add on the Cardinals because I think you're right.
Yeah, I think so. Let me tell you why I went with the Cardinals over the Bengals as my dead last team. And look, we're talking bleak chances here. I expect the Bengals to be the last place team in the division. I think there's a lot of changes going on with the three teams. There's all four teams in the North, right? That's not inconsistent with what's going on in Cincinnati. But you guys know I have a little soft spot for the Bengals. I like their outside. I know this is stupid, but outside of offensive line, quarterback, and linebacker, I like this roster.
Yeah, you like less than half the team. That's great.
Listen. Receivers are interesting. The secondary is good. The D-line's really good. The running back's awesome. They've got a middling quarterback, an uninspiring group of linebackers, and an offensive line that wouldn't be the best in college football. Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be. I didn't say that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I did. Let's move on. Who do you got at seven?
I got the Cardinals at seven. Yeah. I got the Cardinals at seven. So we've knocked out the bottom quarter already, which is good. You had provided the statistic, Joe, that the Jersey teams remained in last place from 17 to 18.
Yes.
We've got another one that's going to be staying in last
place. It's six for you?
My six is the New York Giants. They're in a tough division. And I think when you look at what the Giants did, which included via trade and then free agency swapping out Odell Beckham for Golden Tate and using the top 10 overall pick on a quarterback of the future that's not likely to help them this year, and they got rid of Olivier Vernon. They've downgraded the pass rush. They kind of felt redundant with some of their draft selections and the positions that they were addressing. And I get, like, fill out your roster at positions of, like, if you're going to draft by best player available, then that's fine. But don't expect a long or a short-term boost if you're doubling down on positions because you feel you need more of the same thing at defensive tackle or at the cornerback position, which they invested a lot in quarter this year. So I just think the Giants got worse in critical areas with their outside wide receivers, with Odell Beckham no longer being in the picture, and their pass rush with Olivier Vernon no longer being in the picture, and they didn't replace those players. And the players that they did target and bring in predominantly in the NFL draft are players that they already had contributors at. So I think they're a team that's in neutral right now.
For my number six team, I have the Oakland Raiders.
Raiders.
I mean, real this division has the Chiefs and Chargers. So is,
yeah, you ain't getting better than third.
So is, if you think the Raiders got better, which they did in the offseason, you've got a couple of 12-4 teams from last year that are going to be good again this year. I mean, when you think about the AFC playoff picture, let's be honest, you've got four division winners, and then you have either the Chiefs and Chargers, you know, making the wild card spot, and then you have a bunch of teams competing for the sixth spot. Anyways, we're talking about whether or not they can win the AFC West. I think it's very, very, very unlikely. I put it sixth. Kyle, this linebacker situation is bizarre to me. In a division, yeah, in a division where you have to face that Patrick Mahomes and really good receiving backs in Austin Ekeler and Melvin Gordon for the Chargers, you've got a dynamic tight end and Noah Fant in the division with the Broncos, and you know Philip Lindsay's really good out of the backfield. The Raiders are trotting out Vontaze Burfict in a 5.09 40-yard dash, Brandon Marshall at a 4.81 40-yard dash, Markell Lee in a 4.78 40-yard dash. Their backups are Tahir Whitehead, 4.7, James Cowser, 4.82, Kyle Wilbur, 4.86, and Jason Kabinda, who didn't run an official 40-yard dash, but anybody that watched his tape at Penn State know he's slow as hell. What are the Raiders doing at linebacker with these slow-ass, heavy-footed backers?
You know what makes me sad? You know what makes me the most sad?
What?
You just talked about how slow each and every one of those guys was, and they all ran, the exception of Vontaze Burfict, all ran at least a tenth of a second faster 40-yard time than I did.
I'm not asking you to play middle linebacker in the AFC West, brother.
Yeah, that's true. Very old school throwback. You almost expect – now, this is where the signing of LaMarcus Joyner comes into play for the Raiders. Is he's going to have to be a player that gets looks out of the base personnel, and they rotate him down into the box for single high looks with Carl Joseph playing behind him. That's going to have to be how they play it, because they need a coverage option in the box that's not going to run a 4.9.
Kyle, this is the same stuff we saw from Paul Gunther in Cincinnati. Like, he just hates linebackers that can move.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, if you play sub packages all day and have six defensive backs on the field, it's not a problem. But I just think Gruden's an old school coach, and he wants to be strong in the middle.
Okay.
And now he's going to put all the pressure on his outside defenders in zone defense to tackle.
Good.
And if you miss a tackle, it's a house call.
The Raiders aren't the worst team of the last place teams from 2018, but they ain't winning the AFC West.
I actually had the Raiders at 5, so if you had the Giants at 6, if you have anything you want to add, or did you have somebody else at 5?
No, I had the Giants at 5, so we...
Okay, so we're in the same quarters, we're just flipping the teams.
Yeah.
So we have the same 4 teams in the bottom 4.
I would like to, do you have any rationale between, this is a crap question, but I'm giving it to you anyways. Why do you think the Giants are more likely to go, why do you think the Raiders are more likely to go from worst to first than the Giants?
Explosive offense. I think they can manufacture some explosive plays with all the turnover that they brought in and Derek Carr and Antonio Brown being there and the presence that he's going to provide. So I just think that the Giants are going to ride Saquon Barkley and make him grind everything out on his own, where I think the Raiders actually have a chance to spread the field and sling around a little bit.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. That's very sound reasoning. I just feel like the course in the AFC West is difficult, more difficult than the NFC East. And I think
the NFC East has the Eagles and Cowboys.
I'm aware of that. I think that the Chiefs and Chargers are better teams than the Cowboys and Eagles collectively.
We might have ourselves a bet there. Let's revisit that one.
Let's take it right now. The Chiefs and Chargers will win more games than the Cowboys and Eagles in 2019.
Done.
Oh, it's the first one. It's right there. That's fun. That's fun, Kyle.
Lock it in.
You're going to be on the roof for the Cowboys. You and Jonah Tolles.
Did you consider that the NFC East plays the AFC East this year as their opposite division?
Brother, no, I didn't think about that. But I'm not. This is not a Michigan-Miami situation. It's the NFL.
I thought about saying something. I'm like, no, I better take the bet first.
Take it.
Then see what he thinks.
Take it. It's yours. Enjoy.
All right. We got ourselves a bet.
So you have to join forces with Ben and Jonah all year long. And you know JC and Brad are closet Cowboys fans. So.
Well, I think the Chargers might be in for a little bit of a regression this year.
Oh, please.
Chiefs will win 13 games, no problem.
And the Chargers win 9 or 10?
Yeah.
What do you think the Cowboys and Eagles are going to win? 11 each?
I think this bet's going to be separated by like a win.
What's the tiebreaker?
We got to figure that out, but now is not the time.
All right.
We got to get you on your way to the ball, Cinderella.
Yeah.
AKA ACC Media Days, which start in an hour and a half.
Yeah, let's go.
Number 5. Why don't you introduce this one first, since I've been introducing for...
No, at 5 I have the Giants, so we're going with number 4.
Four, I'm sorry. You're right.
Why
don't you go ahead and introduce number 4.
I don't want to talk about this.
It better be an NFC South team.
It's not. We're going to have the same deal.
Well, it's an NFC team then.
No, it's an AFC team.
Oh, okay. Then we're going to break the trend here a little bit. That's great.
All right. I have the New York Jets at number 4.
And this is strictly speaking because the Patriots are in the AFC East.
I guess. I mean, the Jets, I mean, we're in the top half here. I'll be honest with you. Outside of my like first team and maybe my second, I really don't think it's going to happen for any of these teams, right? So I don't really think it's going to happen for the Jets. But I think they're the fourth most likely team to go from worst to first. Obviously, they made a lot of changes this year with the Jets. You've got Sam Darnold in year 2. Jamison Crowder's in the mix. Kelechi Assembly's in the mix. Le'Veon Bell. Quinnen Williams. C.J. Mosley. I mean, to go with some good pieces that were already in the mix on the roster. Adam Gase, I don't love him as a head coach, but I think he's a good offensive mind, or at least he can be. And Sam Darnold, I like what Le'Veon Bell is going to mean for him in the passing game. You have two
sounds
teams.
Sounds like you like a lot about the Jets, Joe.
I like a lot about the Jets. I hate a lot about Adam Gase, and I don't like this offensive line, and I have major questions about their cornerbacks. I mean, Tremaine Johnson was a flop based on what he was paid last year, and they're asking Brian Poole to play outside corner opposite of him. And Perry Nickerson is the Nick who struggled last year. Like cornerbacks matter, right? And they don't have a good situation there. And so, Marcus May is coming back from injury. Jamal Adams doesn't get interceptions. I mean, we have – I don't know, man. I'm a little – there's reasons to be doubtful there. But this division, right? So you have the Dolphins, who I think the Jets will be better than the Dolphins. I think the Jets and Bills are kind of at similar states right now, but I think there's reason if you wanted to be convinced that the Jets will be better than the Bills in 2019, I think there's a reasonable case to be made there. So the only team that you can say is absolutely in their way is the Patriots. And I'm not sure that there's any situation here where you can realistically look at these landscapes of these divisions and say there's only one team in their way. There's only one team that's really in their way. It's the Patriots. Now, it is the freaking Patriots. I get that. But it's only one team. Things can happen. An injury can happen. And I think that they're the fourth most likely team.
Now, the Jets for me were my second team for all of the reasons that you just outlined. Like, they have a lot going for them in a positive light. And because there's only one team ahead of them, and it's the Patriots, and the Patriots for the first time in I think 9 years won less than 12 games in the regular season last year. They won 11. Like,
is it dynasty over, Kyle?
No.
Or were 11 games of the Super Bowl last year?
But if the Jets win 10, 11 games, it puts them in the ballpark, right?
I know.
So for everything that you just outlined, I think you gave a very realistic opportunity in case to make the statement that, you know, that's why they have a reasonable chance. Because they have a lot of young, impressive players, and they've got the interior penetration with Leonard Williams and Quinter Williams that can get quick pressure and help mask the issues in the secondary. So I'm a lot higher on the Jets' chances. They're my second team on this board. My fourth place team is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I like what Bruce Arians is going to bring to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think it's a perfect fit for Jameis Winston and Mike Evans and O.J. Howard. By all accounts, it seems like they're going to get a little something out of Ronald Jones after Peyton Barber's season last year, which we've talked plenty about on this podcast, Joe. We don't need to play that. Defensively, they've lost some linebacker play. Jason Pierre-Paul, it sounds like, will be out for the year, so there's some issues there. Defensively, I think they'll struggle. That's why they're I like the upgrades on the offense that they have more than the Raiders, which is why they're ahead of the Raiders in the group. But when you're playing a division with the Falcons, the Saints, I always do this, Joe. I always get three out of four. Who am I forgetting? It's a really good team, too. Oh, the Panthers.
Yeah, really good.
The Falcons, Saints, and Panthers. I just think there's too much firepower for them to overcome. And because of that, because there's three teams I think that are still better than the Buccaneers, I have them fourth on this list.
All right, so the same type of deal here. I have – well, no, this isn't the same type of deal. I need to move on to my third team.
Yes.
Which is the Buccaneers.
Okay.
I've had third most likely team, so we're getting towards the top of my list. Offense is going to be good. It's always good, right? And it's going to be better with Bruce Arians. I think he'll get the most out of Jameis. I got questions about this defense, right? A lot of questions about this defense. A lot of young players stepping in. They lost some veterans. You know, I mean, McCoy for Sue is kind of a one-for-one. JPP's not really in the mix. But, I mean, in an offensive league, I really feel good about their ability to score points. And I think it's a tough road because I think there's three other good teams. There's two really good teams, one pretty good teams in the way. But if they can really get the offense spinning, there's a chance. I think it's unlikely. I think it's pretty unlikely, despite them being third on my list. But I can get behind what this team has on offense.
Okay, so we have similar schools of thought for the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Which means your top two teams are the Jaguars and the Lions in some order.
Yeah.
In some order.
Yeah.
Jaguars are also in my top. I had mentioned that the Jets, my top three, the Jets I've already mentioned were my number two. And then the Lions, the missing link, are in my top three as well. So we're generally speaking same school of thought. My third-rated team is the Detroit Lions. I appreciate what the Lions have constructed and becoming Patriots West, right? It's always a slippery slope when that's how you try and build your team, is just to completely replicate, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, what you had somewhere else. And that's exactly what you're seeing Matt Patricia do in Detroit. Bringing in Trey Flowers, bringing in Justin Coleman, bringing in Damian Dole this offseason. on a defense that I liked for what they had. You know, a super physical defensive front. They had speed at linebacker. It wasn't always consistent with tackling. Jared Davis has continued to struggle in those areas. Big play Slay in the secondary is a cornerstone on the defensive side of the football. And then offensively, this team slings the ball around. They got some excited receivers. They finally had a running back over 100 yards in a football game. I think Kerryon Johnson's got potential to have some really nice production this year. Brought in TJ Hockenson. So, like, they checked a lot of boxes. But ultimately, they're in a division where I think the Bears will have a bit of a regression. I don't think they're going to win 12 or 13 or however many games they won last year. But they're still going to be a very good football team because they're a great roster. You know, the quarterback situation for the Bears is going to determine if they have the regression that, statistically speaking, they probably should or not. The Green Bay Packers are reinvigorated. The Minnesota Vikings looking to get back up on top of their game after a struggle last season. They really faltered down the stretch because the play calling it with Kirk Cousins in the building kind of just like totally got away from what they did really well the year before when they made the run to the NFC Championship game. So I think there's a lot in their way, even though I like a lot of what the Lions did. It's kind of the same thing as the Bucks, where it's just the volume of the teams that are perceived to still be in front of them and I think have better players at critical positions puts them third on my list.
All right, so I have to get to my number two. I have the Detroit Lions at number two.
Okay.
I think they do have a difficult road to get there. But at the same time, I like this offensive line. They've really upgraded their skill players, in my opinion, getting a true slot in Amendola, TJ Hockenson in the fray at tight end. Matt Stafford is a guy that knows how to, you know, keep the offense moving and make big plays. Defensively, I mean, Trey Flowers is one of the best defensive linemen in the game. They have him in the mix now. Patricia's a defensive mastermind. Their secondary has been upgraded. I don't think it will happen. I'm not predicting it will happen. But I think there's enough to believe – there's enough about the Detroit Lions to believe they're going to be a solid football team in 2019. And I do believe that the Bears are going to regress a bit. I mean, the Packers, you know, I love Aaron Rodgers. I like a lot about this football team. The defense is better. But, I mean, Matt LaFleur, it kind of that same stuff we talked about you had mentioned with Zach Taylor. You just kind of question his resume for the spot that he's in. And then Minnesota, who I feel like there's so much pressure in Minnesota right now. You know, just based on the deal that they gave Kirk Cousins and underachieving last year. And I worry about that a little bit. I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. But I think the Detroit Lions are a solid enough football team. I think they're – and that's kind of where I went back to. Like when I ranked the teams 1-8 that finished the last place in 2018, I think that the Detroit Lions are the second best team. And despite there being a tough course, I can subscribe to them winning enough games to get it done.
I don't think I disagree with you with the Lions being the second best team on this list. But because they have three teams perceived in front of them versus the Jets and the AFC East only having one, that's why the Jets went ahead of the Lions on my list.
Yeah, I don't think that's good reasoning. It's fine. Your process is good, right, Kyle?
Process over results, right?
Yeah.
So in summary, we both are going to have the Jaguars first. We'll talk about them in just a minute. My list was Bengals, Cardinals, Giants, Raiders, Buccaneers, Lions, Jets, Jaguars, and Joe. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I got this, even though I don't have it written down. Cardinals, Bengals, Raiders, Giants, Jets, Buccaneers, Lions, Jaguars.
Yep, that's the list.
Okay. So tell me about the Jaguars real quick.
Well, I mean, it's the simple fact that, and this is a team that's one season removed from being in the AFC Championship game, and they've improved their quarterback situation. Now, there's a lot of the same ingredients on that team that exist today. Some aren't there, and that's something we need to acknowledge. But they've, in some ways, they've been forward-thinking and prepared for some of those losses with some young players to step in. Now, I mean, I have concerns about their style of play, but this is a team that has been able to, you know, catch lightning in a bottle and make a deep postseason run relatively recently. And I think the AFC South is really competitive. I love what Indianapolis has going. I mean, there's a lot to like about Houston. They won the division last year at 11-5. And, you know, Tennessee, despite everyone being injured and Mike Vrabel in year one as a coach, they found a way to win 9 games. It's a tough course. But 2 years ago, this Jaguars team did it. And I think the simple fact that the quarterback situation has improved, and, you know, it didn't go to an elite tier. Let's be honest about that. But it went from the worst starting quarterback situation in the league to at least somebody that can run an offense, right? And has had a history of going deep into the playoffs and winning the Super Bowl. I think all that matters. They're the team that's most likely to do it.
I agree, which is why I'm going to spend my last 30 seconds before we sign off on something else, Joe.
All right.
Got a tweet about an hour ago from Alan Fisher. And it's in reference to something that we talked about yesterday on the Jacoby Brissett podcast. By the way, he dropped one about black holes yesterday.
Water cooler Wednesdays with Jacoby Brissett just might have to be a new thing.
Jacoby Brissett Twitter timeline Wednesdays now. Alan said, just to reassure you, the Earth might not get totally engulfed by the expanding sun. It will get burnt to a crisp, though. Oh, good. Also, our sun doesn't have enough mass to turn into a black hole, become a white dwarf instead. So our science was wrong, but we had good process, Joe. Process over results.
None of that stuff you just said made sense to me, so.
The sun will expand.
How does anybody know that?
Because they've observed it.
I just happening. Yelled. I just yelled for no reason. I'm
yelled
sorry.
The podcast for absolutely no reason.
I just did it again.
So the Earth might not get engulfed as the sun expands in circumference. It might not expand so much that it swallows the Earth up, but the sun will move to a point in which the heat that it emits will make the temperature of planet Earth uninhabitable. Kind of like what Mercury is now.
You're speaking in certain terms here. Is this what scientists are saying?
I'm trying to make it very clear for you to understand what I'm being told, which is that the sun might not eat the Earth, but it's going to burn it to a crisp.
You said we got like a billion years on that?
Yeah, we got like a billion years to figure something out.
Well, let's hope that our children are smart.
Not mine. Mine's going to be watching all 22. He's got no contributions to the long-term benefit.
I can't get you to read a book.
Well-being of humanity. It's not going to happen. Thanks for listening, Draft Dudes. As a reminder, tomorrow Joe and I are talking about Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa.
Can't wait.
Our impressions of each over the summer, which one we prefer, what their strengths and weaknesses are. Very nuanced football after a couple lax days of analysis here on Draft Dudes. We like to have fun, but we also like to keep it real when the time is appropriate. And tomorrow's going to be one of those times where we're going to keep it real. We're going to break down exactly what we saw on tape, who we prefer, and why. Thanks, as always, for listening.
There is a correct answer.
There is a correct answer. You're right. It's just that we don't know if we're going to have the same one. Come back tomorrow and find out.